Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And today I'm joined by the Brandon Redlinger, who is the fractional leader at quite a few great brands like Noble and Sidebar, and is also co-founder of The Forge. So Brandon, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is long overdue.
For anyone that doesn't know Brandon, definitely go give him a follow on LinkedIn. He's actually one of the people that I've learned a ton about account-based marketing from, so like super stoked to have you on the show. We're going to talk through today an event play that you did that cost like the amount of money of like copier paper, essentially. Like
it's just like exactly it. Yeah.
It's such a good play. So I'm excited to dig into it. So Brandon, can you just give us a high level overview? Like what are we talking through today?
For sure. Okay. So this is my favorite ABM play that I've run. And I really haven't talked about it too much. So excited to really dig into it. But this is what we did at Forrester. Now you can do this at any conference. It doesn't have to be those giant conferences, but we just happened to do it at Forrester. And it was just one of those things that we kind of decided to do at the last moment. I'll tell you where the idea came from. So a month before Forrester, there was the Topo Summit. And I don't know if you guys know Craig Rosenberg, founder of Topo. We just wanted to do something fun with Craig. And we had his own team take a picture, a full body picture of him. And then we did a full life-size cutout of him. He had no idea. And then we put it at our booth. And everyone came around to our booth and they were taking pictures of it and posting it. And of course, we got Craig to take a picture with his own cutout and posted it. And then the next month, like this is heavy event season. So, you know, you're getting all your stuff together, setting your meetings, doing all the things. And then we're like, you know what? Is there anything we can do last minute just to, you know, just to kind of like level up a little bit? So we took that idea of having a person and we said, you know what? What if we take all of our buyers at our target accounts that we're going after right now? We find their headshots on LinkedIn. We print that out life size. And then we put them on, you know, those like paint sticks, those paint stirrers. So yep. You can hold the person's picture up. We put it all around our booth. And then the campaign, what we called it Find Your Face, but the idea was for those influencers to come around to our booth and find their face at our booth. And they would either get a $25 Amazon gift card on the back of all of them. So people actually wanted to come around, to find their face. But what we really didn't expect, what we ended up with was a lot of people on their teams coming around and saying, oh, hey, wait, that's my boss. Can I take a picture or can I Slack it to them? Like, they're not here, but like, let me send a picture. So even people who weren't at the event, because that's the hard thing about events is like, I don't know if these people are going to be here or not. So we took the risk. We printed them all out. About half of the people were actually there, came by, grabbed their face off the booth. But then we had a lot of people who their team came and grabbed the person's face off the booth and we got meetings off of it. It was so successful that we hit our meeting goal on the first day and we ran out of faces. So that night, it's me and Sandra Freeman, one of my favorite event marketers out there. She's one of the best. And it was her and I going back on LinkedIn, finding headshots, running into Kinko's at midnight, printing them off, and then putting them on the booth for the next day. So high level, that was the campaign.
I mean, it's so simple in theory, but like, I think that's what I love about some of the more scrappy ABM programs that we started to hear more about is like, it's not about these like crazy ad budgets or we did the that. Like, there was someone that I talked to that had like $1 million budget to like engage specifically Rivian, like large enterprise, which is like cool. Yep. But just the simplicity of like, well, we have copier paper and some paint sticks. Like, what if we like printed out some headshots? Just then, because you titled it Find Your Face, but essentially it was like you're finding your buyers and like exactly who you wanted to talk to and created a reason for them to come and hang out, which is like super smart. So I'm curious, because you knew the event itself, like how did you segment the list to have a higher likelihood of those people even being there?
Okay, great question. So we went through a bunch of things. So we did sponsor the previous year. So we looked at, okay, what are the companies that were there last year? Great, let's target the buyers there. And then we looked at sponsors of the event. So a bigger event has a bigger sponsor list. So we know a lot of the sponsors are actually also potential buyers. So we looked at crossover with our target account list. And then the other thing that we did was we went on LinkedIn and we followed Forrester and we followed the hashtag, I forget what it, Forrester Summit 2018 or whatever it was. And we're looking at all the people that are engaging with that hashtag. And then these days too, there's so many tools out there that will now scrape LinkedIn. So back then it was really manual. We're just going through, we're looking at one by one. Hey, this person commented, they look like a director or above at a large company. Is this on our target account list? Great. Save headshot, move on to the next one. So yeah, manual back then. But pretty scrappy. Again, these days, so many tools that you can use to scrape hashtags or scrape LinkedIn posts themselves. But yeah, that was mainly how we got our list.
I love it. So that's how we got the list. And then from there, obviously, how we got in front of people was the event in and of itself. I am curious, how did you promote, like, hey, like, come find your face? Like, were there any things you did before, or was it just like, you showed up and had a bunch of people's faces and people were like, what the heck is happening?
Well, it was also pretty last second, but we were like, you know what, let's throw these people into a quick outreach sequence. So our target accounts, we said, we actually took pictures of, well, we took a picture of the entire booth and we said, hey, come find your face. And then of course, put that into the body of the email. And most of their faces you could obviously see right on the booth just from the picture. And we did that. And then once we started getting some traction and the sales reps realized, because we actually did this not in direct alignment with sales. We were just like, what can we do for sales? And then they saw the effect. It got them really excited. And then we had reps coming to us and say, hey, can you print this person's picture off? Or, hey, you know what? I really want this person to come. I'm going to post on LinkedIn or I'm going to post on Twitter. I'm going to tag them to get them to the booth. So since the reps were really excited about it, they helped us promote this a lot. And then they started sending one-off emails to their buyers saying, hey, your face is at our booth. Come get it. We'd love to chat. So again, like because of the creativity of it, we got our own team excited about it and they helped us promote.
Super smart. And again, I love the simplicity of like you sent a photo after the booth was already set up. So it's not like this was already like fully scheduled out and automated. Like you took the photo, someone sits down at one of the tables, opens their laptop, like types out a quick email. It's like, hey, like come find your face. Like really pretty scrappy. So I love it. The other thing you mentioned is like get an Amazon gift card or Bose headset. Yep. So I am curious, like, why do you think those specific incentives worked as did you talk about that in the email of just like, hey, come find your face and also get a $25 gift card? Like, how did you start to see that information into the actual outreach?
Yeah, good question. That's exactly it. It was, hey, come find your face and on the back. Come find your face and get your chance to win Bose headsets. But on the back of everyone, or we said something like, yeah, everyone's a winner. If you don't get the Bose, you're at least getting a $25 Amazon gift card. Yes, something like that. And honestly, I don't know if that's that much of a draw to buyer, you know, to executive buyers. How much are Bose? I don't know, 300. I guess it's pretty good. You'll still get a good response from that. $25 Amazon gift card. Do they really care about that? I'm not sure. I don't know. Probably more and more these days, especially if you're really in the C-suite, $25 isn't really going to get them out of their seat. But we did it anyway.
Yeah, I think it's, you're stacking incentives. So like one, find your face is funny enough. Two, I mean, I was already going to go do it. Now this might push me over the edge to just go ahead and make the effort to walk by the booth and spend 15 minutes at the booth. Like,
yeah. Yep.
So it makes a lot of sense.
The other thing that we actually did too, now that I'm remembering it, we had influencers' faces at the booth too. So we had your Matt Hines or your Terry Flannery, the guy who's, you know, announcing the waterfall at the summit. We had his face at the booth. So when they're walking by, they find their own face and say, oh, wait, I got to take a picture of that and then take it and post it. So, yeah, not just buyers, but that also helped us amplify the campaign.
Yeah, super smart. So what I find interesting is you said you hit your meeting goal for the event on day one, and it was largely associated to people finding their face. So this approach is fun. Like, and yeah, it's creative, and it's certainly going to get people there. But once they're there, how did you transition into, hey, you should actually talk to us further and book a meeting? Because that seems like the hardest part here is you get them there. What do you do now?
And we mainly handed it off to the reps. So we would, and the reps aren't always there. But so yeah, we'll talk about when the reps were there. So this also intended the reps to stay there so that they're like, when they didn't have their meetings, they would come back to the booth so that they could see if their target buyers are coming by. And then the marketing side would say, oh yeah, here's your face, here's your gift card. And then that's when the rep would come in and say, hey, let's actually talk about your ABM program. Let us know for you. And my approach really is, let me be helpful to you. So I always trained our reps to lead with value, not tell me about what you're doing today, because I've got some ideas for you or your company, or you know, whatever that is. Or yeah, it's always tell me about your company. I mean, what's the real incentive for them to really talk about their company, right? So it's always, I always train my reps to do deep research on the company, really know the company, know the industry. I think that's another thing too about ABM is I think territories are really interesting. Most people do it by geo. I'm a really big fan of actually doing it by industry or vertical, because by geo, you could have every business or every go-to-market motion under the sun just in one geo. How is someone supposed to be really good and deep knowledge at all of those different, you know, go-to-market motions or and industries? Let's actually say one person is the rep for all healthcare and health tech. Now they get deep information on that. Now they can actually deliver more relevant, more personalized help to that specific person without really necessarily knowing their company super deeply. I actually am a professional, an expert in this area. I can help you. And so that's one thing I'm really big at.
So when I was a full funnel AE, I would always cohort my outbound by like companies, because you didn't just get in a similar talk track, and it's still personalized and specific to that account because it's cohorted by like all the healthcare companies or all of the, like I was in media sales, like it's all the healthcare companies or all the restaurants or all of the like, so I couldn't agree more of making it to where it's not just, hey, they all live in the same region, because especially in more and more remote sales, regions aren't even that beneficial unless you're trying to do a lot of on-sites, which they are helpful in that way. But other than that, I'd rather someone be able to deliver significantly more value because they just spend so much more time speaking to a specific vertical than like making it easier for them to drive from one office to another if they're doing a door knocking.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing about that too is, I mean, yeah, 100% easy to do it these days because we're all remote, but a lot of our reps traveled. So when they did travel, it was always, okay, who else is in Chicago in this industry? Don't, like, you're going out there to visit one company. Yeah. Let's make the most of it. Go do your research. And if you get 5 people, if you get 10 people, I'll actually throw a dinner for you. I'll do all the research for the venue and I'll make sure it's all branded and I'll make sure they get a really great experience. But if you get me X amount of other buyers at that city at that date, marketing will do more for you. So whenever we are putting people on a plane, let's make sure we're getting the most out of it. Not just one in real quick, one meeting out the, you know, that afternoon.
Yeah, I love it. So you hit all your meeting goals, and I'm assuming that was how we measured success. So I am curious, as you think about what worked exceptionally well, like if you were to take this specific example, like what are the things that you did super well that you would take forward for other ABM programs?
Yeah, it's just the creativity. And like, honestly, these sorts of creative things are hit or miss. And if you try something and you miss, it's pretty low risk, right? I'm not spending a ton of money. And I was already doing a lot of smart things at that conference, so that if this wasn't successful, I wasn't going to miss my campaign goals, right? Like, I wasn't going to miss my conference goals. This was really the cherry on the top. And then we moved a lot of our energy and our effort from the other things that we were doing to this because we saw the success with this. So it was really being, being agile and really understanding, what's working and kind of ditching some of the other things, because I'm really big on that too. Let's do a lot of things that are really smart and that are low risk, and we can adapt from there, because that's the great thing about working at startups is we can be really agile, we can be really smart. I'm all about testing things small, low risk, and then scaling from there.
Couldn't agree more. So what are the things that, as you look back, you wish you had done a little bit differently?
It really is, on this specific one, having more time to research those heads, making sure I had enough of them. And honestly, if I got the reps buy-in sooner, that campaign would have been even more successful. Like, it wasn't really until maybe halfway through the first day, or maybe a little bit less than, maybe a third of the way through the first day, that people really started seeing the power of this campaign, that they started to get on board, and that the word spread through the other AEs that were there. And they're like, oh, wait, okay, let me come over and let me actually figure out what this is. Like, you told me in the pre-meeting what this was, but I wasn't really paying attention. Cause let's be honest, a lot of times reps don't pay attention, which is fine. That's why I'm also really big on, like, marketing should be in a position where they're successful no matter what. Like, whether they have great sales and marketing alignment or not, like, as long as they have respect for each other, great. But as long as we have the tools, the processes, the systems in place for us to be successful on our own, that's what I'm really going for. Because a lot of, like, I know there's things going around these days where it's like, you need to make sure that you know how your sale, VP of sales takes their coffee. I mean, that's great. And, I think it's a cherry on top, but I don't want my success to be contingent upon that as a marketing leader.
I think that's a bit extreme. I've been more of the camp of, like, they should be able to go out and hang out after work and, like, enjoy each other's company. Like, that feels more like a mutual respect than like a, let me make your coffee.
Let me get your coffee. Exactly.
Like that. I don't know.
But there's just been too many companies where I've been at where I'm not aligned with sales. Their head of sales is off doing their own thing. Head of sales thinks marketing really is just the in service of marketing is in service of sales, where it's, kind of, but not really. Like, we're a team. We need to be together on this. So again, like, in those cases, I can't count on that alignment. I can't count on even me wanting to go get drinks after work with them. So I need to make sure everything that I do is successful. And once I start delivering success to sales, hopefully they'll come around a little bit more. But again, like, I don't want to rely on that for my success.
It's helpful to just to think through, because...
Yeah, I know it's a little bit different than a lot of people think, because it's always like, hey, like, sales marketing alignment is, like, agreed that it is one of the most powerful things you can do. But I just talked to so many sales or marketing leaders out there that are not aligned with sales. Like, I was writing about this 10 years ago, and here we are, and we're still trying to figure this out. And maybe the reality is, again, we shouldn't rely on that. Let's just open up the black box of operations and, demand conversion, so that when whatever leads that we do generate and the demand that we do generate is going to be converted by sales.
I think it is. Yes, we want to make sure we're aligned, but also I think that there are many sales leaders that have been, that have worked with marketing leaders that, like, didn't really do a lot.
Yeah, 100% true. Yeah, exactly.
So, like, there's just what I found is the easiest way to help align with sales is, like, do a kind of quick win program that builds momentum that, like, sales can feel. And they're like pretty quick to get on board. Like, it's not like, oh shoot, you're helping build pipeline, or you're, oh great, all of my target accounts I'm, like, trying to break into are here. Awesome. Like, let me make sure, like, you, the example you just outlined is that, like, you built momentum, you built something that, like, piqued interest within target accounts. And then sales was pretty quick to be like, oh shoot, this is actually, like, pretty great. And everybody was on the same page. So,
yeah. And then use that. Like, a lot of times too, what I've seen, you get quick wins and then sales is like, all right, let's just do another campaign like this. Where I think a lot of marketing leaders are like, okay, cool, let's just do another campaign. And then that's when you go down the path of marketing is in service of sales, right? Sales going, hey, can you do this again? Where I think you should say, okay, that was a great win. You know what would be even better? If we aligned on the target account list beforehand, and you know, that would require all these different things. And, you know, let's set some SLAs, let's set shared dashboards, let's be in each other's meetings a little bit more. Let's do QBRs together, campaign reviews together. So it's not just like, okay, cool, I'll do the campaign again. It's like, you know what? Let's actually be strategic together. Like, that was a tactic that we used and it was helpful to you. But what's going to be even more effective is let's do the strategy planning together. So they say, hey, let's do this. You say, great, let's do it, but let's also do these other things. Don't become that order taker for sales.
Yeah, it's not just a yes, but it's a yes and. Like, and let's do it together versus just becoming yes people. So I think that's a great framing. As we close out, like, you've built, I mean, you just said it, like, you've been talking about sales marketing alignment for a decade. You've built quite a few very successful ABM programs. So as you're thinking about getting started with ABM today, is there any specific advice that you give somebody that's building their first program?
It's changed a little bit now that AI, like, I used to say, you can't do true ABM at scale. I've changed my tune on that a little bit, only because there are some really awesome AI tools. But like, you really have to know it really well. And you have to, again, I go back to test as small as possible at low risk as possible. And then once you really figure out it works, scale from there. Because I think more than ever today, you're falling into the trap of automating whatever you can. And if it's great, you're automating great stuff. If it's pretty crappy, which a lot is these days, you're going to do even more crappy stuff faster, which is not what we want. But I still do think at the end of the day, even today, still, people choose too many target accounts. And it's not about the quantity, it's all about the quality, right? And like, you really have to make sure it makes sense at business economics for you to be going after these number of accounts. And it used to be probably like, you know, 50K ACV, but probably nowadays it's even lower to maybe 25 or maybe even 20, because again, cost of tools have gone down. I'm not even, you know, that big on a lot of those ABM tools these days. You can get by with your current tech stack, just using it a lot more effectively and efficiently and doing smarter, just demand gen stuff against ABM accounts, you know? So,
yeah, like, it's I truly could not have said it better myself.
I mean, like, I'm still a stakeholder in demand base and I still love the team over there. But like, honestly, you don't need a demand base. You don't need a Sixth Sense to have successful ABM. I'm sure it helps. But like, a lot of those tools, honestly, you have to have a pretty good ops team, and your ops leader has to have a really good understanding of the systems and the processes and flows between all the different systems for you to be most effective with those tools. Because I've seen a lot of companies too that don't have that, but have big budgets, spend on it, and they don't get the ROI from the tooling that they purchased.
Instead of buying a massive ABM platform, they could have just printed out a couple faces at a booth. Like,
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you can rinse and repeat.
I love it. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
LinkedIn is, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. My only request is, if you send me a connection request, just put something in the note. Just don't just connect with me. I miss so many requests. But if you say, hey, I listened to you on Scrappy ABM or through Mason or whatever, like, I'll accept it and I'll reply to you. But otherwise, most likely I'm going to miss you. So just LinkedIn, send an actual message with your request.
I love it. Brandon, again, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.